So turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Ezekiel. The book of Ezekiel in chapter 12. And the last few weeks we have been considering the point on our messages that sin deprived of physical comforts. I said deprived. Deprives of physical comfort. Doesn't matter what generation it's in. Sin deprives of those physical comforts. And we concluded it up last week, that point, with the idea, even though the wicked may think they're not being deprived of anything, those that are enjoying, shall we say, the comforts of the world, the comforts of life, riches and nice homes and nice automobiles and everything, they shall be deprived. There is coming a day when they will be deprived of those comforts. There'll be no comfort in the lake of fire. There'll be no comfort in a separation from God. And we want to continue on tonight with the next point, that sin deprives of peace. Not only does sin deprive of physical comforts, and on that note, the wicked, they're not comfortable with those physical comforts. They may think they are, but you look at the world around us, and it can't be more obvious than it is today that those things don't provide comfort. And those things don't provide peace. So sin deprives of peace. And look what we're said in our verse again here in verse 18 of chapter 12. He said, "Son of man, eat thy bread with quaking, and drink thy water with trembling, and with carefulness." Well, without even looking at the meaning of those words, does that sound like peace to you? Does that sound like a peaceful situation? Remember that Ezekiel, this was a picture that Ezekiel was to portray. And he was to portray to his countrymen that were there in Babylon with him. But by the river Kibar with him, he was to portray this. Well, to let you know a little more of what an unrestful state this is, the quaking there is a rattling, a shaking. The trembling spoken of there is a quivering that comes from a word which means to be in turmoil. Have you ever been in turmoil? I'm sure we all have at one time or another. And even at one time or another as a Christian. When we take our eyes off the Lord, and we don't look to Him, and we don't trust Him, and we lean unto our own efforts to solve things, we find ourselves in a turmoil. And then the other word, carefulness, means anxiety. Well, we all know what it is to be anxious, to have anxiety. We even as Christians get anxious about things. We have anxiety about certain things. And it seems like the older we get, the more we don't deal with things as well as maybe we thought we used to be able to. But can you imagine being lost in sin, dead in sin and trespasses, being in wickedness, being in rebellion to God? Oh, the shaking and the quivering and the anxiety, the turmoil. As I said, it's not more evident than it is today. We can just look on every hand and there's unrest. There's unrest in the world. It doesn't matter whether you're Republican or Democrat. It doesn't matter whether you're conservative or liberal. On both sides, there's unrest. There's turmoil. And the picture that Ezekiel is to picture here is that they would eat their bread and drink their water. The necessities of life, the very necessities of life, would be not eaten and drank in peace and comfort, but in anxiety and in fear. For a picture of this, turn with me to the book of Judges. The book of Judges, chapter 2. And just to show you that this is a thought that is prevalent throughout Scripture, and especially as you follow through the Old Testament Scripture, you can see that this thought is there, and that it prevails, and that it is true. Judges chapter 2 and verse 15, it says, "Whithersoever they went out." Now you know the setting of Judges, don't you? Remember, Joshua had led the children of Israel into the promised land. And they had conquered. And although they had failed to utterly drive out in the days that Joshua was elderly and others had to take over and he kind of left the scene. Passed away. They didn't utterly drive the inhabitants out. But they allowed them to stay. And we come into the book of Judges, and the book of Judges tells us that after Joshua's generation, after the generation of Joshua had passed away, the children of Israel forgot God. The people that they allowed to stay in the land, they intermarried with them. They turned their hearts away from God and into idol worship. Amen. They forsook God. And so then verse 15 says, "Whithersoever they went out, the hand of the Lord was against them for evil." Right there. We can stop right there. Does that sound like a peaceful situation? It didn't matter where they went, the hand of the Lord was against them. Amen. That is the way of the wicked. The hand of the Lord is not with them. The hand of the Lord is against them. Can you expect peace in one who the hand of the Lord is against? No. No. And it goes on to say, "As the Lord had said, and as the Lord had sworn unto them, and they were greatly distressed." It came to pass just as the Lord said. He said back there in the books of Moses, he said, if you'll obey my commandments and obey my laws, then I'll bless you. He said, if you disobey, then there'll be a cursing upon you. My hand will be against you in your task. And that's what we just read here in verse 15. And they were what? Distressed. Distressed. Is that peace? To be distressed? They were in a strait. I mean, the hand of the Lord was against them. Didn't matter where they went. Look to the world around. Look to the wicked. Look to the unsaved world around. I just read before coming over here tonight that the riots and stuff have started up in, what was it, Portland again? Does that sound like rest? Does that sound like peace? All that they're doing out there is supposed to be an effort for change to bring about peace. And where is it? No peace. Turn with me to the book of 1 Samuel. And I'm sure you remember this occasion in chapter 28 of 1 Samuel. Remember King Saul? Started out, the hand of the Lord was with him. But he showed who he was. He showed that he was wicked. He rebelled against God. He tried to make things to suit his fancy. To suit his way. Notice what we have in 1 Samuel chapter 28 and verse 15. And Samuel said to Saul. Saul went to a witch. I want you to call me up Samuel. I've never thought of that before. But I was reading a couple commentaries today. Actually, probably most of them. There was a couple that didn't say it one way or the other. Samuel. What do you think about this? The witch. What world is that? Is that the world of God? That's not the world of God. God commanded that they be put to death. Amen. That was God's command. Why? Because they were of Satan. They were working in the spirit world. Who's the prince and power of the air? Satan is. Amen. Can he disguise himself, or one of his ministering angels, can they disguise themselves as Samuel? And look what it says to Saul. Why hast thou disquieted me? Well, Samuel's in the bosom of Abraham, a peaceful state. It's impossible to cross over that gulf there and disquiet Samuel. To bring me up. And Saul answered, I am sore distressed. I am in a sore strait. And notice what he says about why he's sore distressed. Why he's in a bad strait. For the Philistines make war against me, and God is departed from me. God's not on my side. God's hand is against me. And answereth me no more. Saul rejected God. Saul was rebellious. God would not hearken unto Saul any longer. And Saul, while Samuel was alive, always had to go through Samuel. And Samuel just told him, God has rejected thee from being king. God's not with you any longer. Neither by the prophets. I mean, even the prophets that are in the land. God's not speaking to me. Nor by dreams. Therefore I have called thee, that thou mayest make known unto me what I shall do. You see, the wicked, there's no peace for the wicked. They're in a strait. They're in a strait. The hand of the Lord is against them. Look at one other passage concerning this. Psalms 107. Psalms chapter 107. And look with me at verse 17. Fools, because of their transgression and because of their iniquities, are afflicted. They're not in a peaceful state. They're distressed. They're in a strait. God is against them. They have nowhere to turn. You and I that are at peace with God. When the trials of life come upon us, we have somewhere to turn. And He gives comfort. He gives peace to us. We trust Him. And we know that He's working all things for our good, according to His good will and pleasure. When dead in sin and trespasses, there is no peace. There's no comfort of mind. Turn with me to the book of Isaiah. The book of Isaiah. And we've kind of been dancing around this passage of Scripture. We'll read it. Verse 20. But the wicked are like the troubled sea. Like the troubled sea. You know when those waves are really rolling in here? You know, they don't look peaceful, do they? They look dangerous. When it cannot rest. See, when it cannot rest. The troubled sea, whose waters cast up mire and dirt. He says the wicked are like that. Is it any wonder that our country, that our world is in the state that it's in today? You see, it's obvious that the Spirit of God is restraining less and less. And as He restrains less and less, men will become more and more disturbed. And more in turmoil. Verse 21. There is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked. They don't know peace now. And they never will know peace, says God. Look with me what we read from our book that we are studying the book of Ezekiel, past lessons in chapter 7 and verse 25, where it said, destruction cometh, and they shall seek peace, and there shall be none. You know, all my lifetime, men have been seeking peace. They've been seeking peace everywhere, but where peace can be found. The only place you're going to find peace is in the God of this book.
Amen.
And His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
It's the only place that men are going to find peace. Ezekiel 7:25 said, they shall seek peace, and they shall not find it. Turn with me to a familiar passage of Scripture in the book of Romans. Romans chapter 3. This brings it right over to our day and time. Romans chapter 3. In verse 10, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Their throat is an open sepulcher. With their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asp is under their lips. On that note, who can you believe today? Who can you believe today? God. God's the only one I know you can really believe today. They're so-called Christians, you can't even believe them. They've been found to be liars. Whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness, their feet are swift to shed blood, destruction and misery are in their ways. Notice this. And the way of peace have they not known. And the way of peace have they not known. That was you and I.
Yes.
Before we found peace. We found peace in the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
When He found us and saved our souls, then we knew peace. We knew the peace with God, and we know the peace of God. Now, you see, but the wicked, those who remain yet in their wicked state, not knowing the Lord Jesus Christ, they don't know the way of peace. The way of peace is only found in the ways of God.
Amen.
The Lord Jesus Christ. Without doubt, we may often find the wicked in their sad estate, untroubled, having no guilt or fear, seemingly untroubled. I found out we can look at men and we don't know the turmoil that's going on inside. I worked with a fellow, nicest fellow you'd ever know, and I didn't know the turmoil was going on in him. Come into work one day and said, Darwin committed suicide. See, we don't know the turmoil that an individual's in just by looking at them. And they profess they have no guilt. I talk to people, I haven't done anything terrible bad. And when they told me that, they're living in sin. But even for those who, shall we say, have convinced themselves that they're in great comfort, that they're not in trouble, that they're not in turmoil, that they have no guilt, and they have no fear, there's coming a day. There's coming a day of awakening. And with it, there'll be a day of terror. He told the nation of Israel that. Turn with me to the book of Leviticus. The book of Leviticus. In chapter 26. And look with me at verse 17. Verse 17. And I will set my face against you. That is, if they don't obey the commandments of God. If they disobey God. If they turn away from Him in rebellion. And I will set my face against you, and ye shall be slain before your enemies. They that hate you shall reign over you, and ye shall flee when none pursueth you. There's a payday coming for your disobedience, he said. And that payday didn't come until way back in the days of Jeremiah and Ezekiel. 1,000 years later. From this, verses 36 and 37. And upon them that are left alive of you, I will send a faintness into their hearts in the land of their enemies, and the sound of a shaken leaf shall chase them. A leaf shaking. Yeah. It's going to fright them. You ever watch a horror movie? And just the least little thing, they jumping. You know, then it was nothing. You know? And they shall flee as fleeing from a sword, and they shall fall when none pursueth. They're going to flee as fleeing from a sword, and there's no sword pursuing them, coming after them. And they're going to flee so hard, they fall to the ground. They trip and fall and stumble over things and they get over and they look behind them and there's nothing there. And they're looking all around. We've all seen that scenario. Verse 37, and they shall fall one upon another as there were before a sword. When none pursueth, and ye shall have no power to stand before you. In other words, they end up killing one another. They're so afraid. In other words, they've gotten themselves into such a state of fear and trembling that they can't trust you. And so they kill one another.
What a shame, huh?
Deuteronomy chapter 28. And you have to know that Deuteronomy 28, we're getting close. Close to the time when Moses is going to be relieved off the scene. God's going to take him. Moses is going to die. And God's going to bury him. But before he leaves, he's encouraging them to obedience and exhorting them against disobedience. And look what he says here in verses 64 through 67. And the Lord shall scatter thee among all people from the one end of the earth even unto the other. And there thou shalt serve other gods, which neither thou nor thy fathers have known, even wood and stone. And among these nations shalt thou find no ease, No ease, no comfort, no peace. Neither shall the sole of thy foot have rest. You're just not going to have it. But the Lord shall give thee there a trembling heart and a failing of eyes and sorrow of mind. Notice that. A trembling heart, failing eyes, and a sorrowful mind. And thy life shall hang in doubt before thee, and thou shalt fear day and night, and shalt have none assurance of thy life. In the morning thou shalt say, oh, would God it were evening. And at even thou shalt say, would God it were morning. For the fear of thine heart, wherewith thou shalt fear, and for the sight of thine eyes, what thou shalt see. See? What did the Lord say in Isaiah 57:21? There is no peace, saith the Lord God, for the wicked. All right, we'll quit there tonight.